speaking your word to us as they spoke your word to those in Australia. We want to hear about it. We want to rejoice with them. We want to be part of that. We want to partake in that. We ask that you would freely use them, loose their tongues, calm their nerves, and we ask that you would use them to minister to this group of people, this body, and your people. In your son's name, amen. All right, who's first?
Tabitha. Thanks, Danny. Good morning, everybody. It's really good to be back, and really awesome to be able to share a little bit with you guys today. So, most of you guys know that while we were in Australia, we shared our testimonies in the Christian studies classes in a couple of high schools. And so that intro, when we walked into those classes, it was usually like, why are you here exactly? So we started most of those classes by saying we're here because Jesus Christ transformed each one of us in different ways, and we are here to share who God is and what he's done and just tell you about it, to testify to that. And so that's what we're here to do today as well. We're here to tell you who God is, what he's done in each one of us, and and just to invite you into that and to say thank you for supporting us and for praying for us and for being the team that sent us out, for being the ones that sent us out. And so for me personally, a couple of months before the trip, I had an experience where I shared my testimony part of my testimony in a kind of a more public way, and I got some really harsh backlash from it from my family for having spoken about my family in a public setting. It wasn't slander, and it wasn't untrue. And so, because I got such harsh criticism from it, I realized, it made me think about, like, wait, when else have I done this? What usually happens? And I realized that for the last 2 years or so, I have not shared my testimony. I haven't told people what God has done in my life. And yeah, so to be going into a mission trip where that's our core, like, weapon, if you want to say, of you're going to go in and you're going to speak and testify to your personal experience with Jesus Christ, was a little bit, like, I don't know. I didn't quite know how to enter it. And so Brad kept referencing this awesome verse while we were over there, and I'm so glad he said it over and over again, because it cemented for me the meaning of this trip. And it was that in Acts 3:6 it says, "But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" And so we came with no way to offer tangible benefit to the people that we were ministering. All we can say is, silver and gold have I none, but I can offer you Jesus to allow you to get up and walk. And I think the most beautiful part of this trip for me was hearing our stories told over and over and over again, and telling my story over and over and over again, and recalling, this is who God is. This is what he's done. I was dead in sin, and I'm alive. And last night, a stranger that I was getting to know asked me if I could tell him my life story. And he meant it, he was asking this to make a point about something, to make the point that I couldn't. And I said so strongly, yes, yes, I can. And it threw him off from what he was the point he was trying to make. But I realized, like, my life story revolves and gravitates around the event of knowing Jesus Christ. And how could I not speak out? How could I not recall and remember and testify to who God is and what he's done? And yeah, so that's what I had to share.
Yeah, so my kind of what I have to share kind of ties in with what Tabitha said. We went over to Australia with the mindset of sharing testimonies. And so for the preparation part of this trip, we each prepared our testimony and shared it with the team, like in our meetings. And so when it was my turn to do that, I got my notebook out and like wrote down a little story about what my testimony was and like prepared it and shared it with the group. And like, that was my testimony. And then, which a little backstory to that, just talking about how God transformed me, I had a rough time in high school. I didn't like with friends and just really broke me as like my identity. I didn't know who I was. I turned to like backlash against myself and just like really caught up in my mind about like, yeah, I just didn't feel good enough, like no matter what I did. So I was like, that was kind of where I was coming from. And before I come to college, I prayed that, like, just like honest prayer with God, like what I was feeling, what I was going through. And he met me. He provided me with like an amazing group of friends at Vanguard and just, yeah, really good quality people. And that was just kind of like the testimony that I shared and like I wrote down. And as we got to the trip and like on the trip, the first few times I shared my testimony, I don't know what it was, if it was just like saying my story over and over again or just something else, but like a lot of those feelings of like what it was before like came up and started to resurface in me and like, wow, like why am I feeling this? Like what's going on? And it made, like looking back now, it made me realize that my story, like I wrote my testimony like it was a finished story, and it's not. And that just goes to like the pursuit of God and like how like it's in the never-ending journey. Like the moment you think that, like, because I was relying on this past experience, is like, oh, that was awesome. I'm good enough now. Like God met me. Like that's awesome. And I just kind of smooth sailing after that. But it's like, no, like he is after your heart. He's like it's ongoing step-by-step process. And so that came in me like refocus and like reshift to what my story was like saying and like being able to share the second week in one of the high schools. It was called the Entrance High School. It's a public school, and just a really like, it was a lot of hard like stories for the kids in that school, like just a lot of rough upbringing. And I kind of went to that and shared just like honestly what I was feeling, like, you know, my story isn't over, like I'm still not perfect, I'm still feeling some things, but like I have hope now because I have a relationship with God. Like like prior to this, I had no hope. Like there's just the hole was just getting deeper and deeper, but now it's like, no, I can dig myself out of this. Like God is there to help me dig myself out of this. And just sharing that story and like being open about that and having the kids respond in such a good way. One girl talked to Tabitha for a while afterwards and like ended up accepting Christ for the first time. And it's like, yeah. And seeing that was like, wow, like we're sharing our story of like the time that God transformed us and like drawing back to that one moment. And in that high school, we had three girls who all accepted Christ for the first time throughout that week. And just each time, like seeing their faces, seeing like what they're going through, it's like, wow, like that's what we're talking about. It's so cool to see that again, because it's been so long since we've had that first moment. And it's really pointing me back to like pursuing God with all I have and like letting go of what I think is good, what I think is right for myself, and like looking to God and say like, God, like you're all that's good for me. Like you are my strength. You are my identity. And yeah, it was really a really good experience for me and something that I will take away from this trip and like, yeah, apply to my life, because yeah, there is no moment where you've had enough of God, or like it's like, yeah, God is always, he's so big that you can never get enough. So yeah, just after this, it's like, man, God is so big and he's so worth it. And another little cool story. So while we were there, we worked in a homeless shelter and helped out with a homeless shelter one night. And I sat down and talked to this one guy who was there, and his name was John. And he was like just sitting there having dinner and like I asked him like how he's doing, like, and somehow the conversation like turned towards like his story, and like as soon as he saw the opportunity to share his story, he like lit up. He like, and he like dove into it, and he had an amazing story. He's always grown up poor and not really having a much, and so it got to him for a while, and like a while back, and he was ready to like just give up and end his life, and had his plan of driving his car off a cliff, and got into his car and put the keys in the ignition, and the car wouldn't start. Like the next day he went to church and accepted God, because he thought that he saw like God protected me that day. And then that day he was also battling with mouth cancer, and he had problems with his back. And as he was in church that day, God, like he felt God like twisting each little knot in his back, like going down his spine. And then all of a sudden he went to a doctor's appointment that week, and the mouth cancer was gone. And it was just like that alone is like, wow, like, okay. And then he kept going, and he's like, yeah. And then I was like, I had this house, and like I had all these animals, because he loves pets. He has a bunch of pets. And one night when he was asleep, his house caught fire, and all of a sudden all of his pets came and piled on top of him and actually saved his life from the smoke. He lost 3 pets that night, but his life was saved. Like, and just another testament that he said, like, God saved me from the fire. Like, he used my pets. And right after that, like, I think Hillsong heard his story or something and gave him a check for $5,000 to, like, get him back on his feet. And, so, and like, later now, he's still, like, pretty impoverished, like, not really having a lot. And he's living in a, like, a government-run, like, community center that houses 57 other people. And he's just saying, like, yeah, it's not a really good place, but, you know, I'm making do with what I got. And just, like, the week prior, he actually donated $5,000 back to Hillsong to, like, repay them for what they gave him. And just, like, what the song, like, when worship, yeah, he says, like, it's not a really good place, and, like, people are not that great, but he's taken, like, 23 of them to church, and, like, he's just, like, yeah, really cool. Yeah, and just kind of goes with like what the worship song was today about, like, God filled me with a passion that overflows, and like just seeing him and hearing his stories, and like it overflowed over to me is like, wow, like he doesn't have anything like in this world, and yet he is one of the happiest people I've ever met, and like one of the happiest people I met on the trip, and it's totally down to his relationship with God. And I was like, man, like that's pretty powerful. And yeah, like, his story really changed me and, like, changed how I perceive, like, what I want and, like, yeah, what God is to me. And, yeah, that was one of the coolest moments I think I had on the trip. But, yeah, that's all I have to share.
Hello, everyone. So I think there was a few themes that kept popping up throughout the trip. And it was really on two that I like centered on and contemplated a lot. And the first was of body, and kind of that reference in Paul's letters of the church being like a body and Christ being the head of the members of the body. And I think that became really evident, especially in my own personal journey, as far as being part of that body and having my own kind of reservations and fear of being part of that body. And just seeing how that kind of played out over there was incredible, because you're in a different part of the world with a different culture, slightly different English, you know, and different foods and different backgrounds and stuff like that. And all of us are pretty different. And just to see how God kind of brings all that together to form one body is beyond me, really. And so I saw that in a few instances. I think some of the biggest instances was when I was frustrated or tired and not necessarily feeling up to, you know, up to my game and, you know, to minister and stuff like that. And just seeing how our team kind of came in and filled in those gaps. Because I started thinking it would have been a whole nother story if all of us were tired, you know, and some of the opportunities that we had in ministry, if all of us were feeling moody or down or irritable and stuff like that, that whole ministry opportunity would have looked a lot different. But even when one or two of us were down, we all kind of just stepped in and, you know, filled in those gaps. And one of the instances was with Troy. We were setting up for an art conference that a church puts on every year. And I don't know, it was just, it was the second week. And so I guess I was getting tired and just not really in my comfort zone anymore. And I was just thinking, like, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. Much less do I want to set up chairs. And so I kind of carried that into our day at the conference. And I got frustrated with myself for being frustrated, which didn't help anything. Actually made it a lot worse. And, you know, I just look at Hannah and Troy, who are setting up the chairs, and kind of without even second guessing it, I'm just thinking, like, you know, that's the attitude I wish I had right now, but quite frankly, I don't. And the fact that I'm frustrated with myself for being frustrated is kind of a, even a sense of pride in a way, just because I'm thinking, like, I should be better than this. But I'm not. I'm really not. And if I was tired and if I was frustrated, it's because I was tired and I was frustrated and out of my comfort zone. And it's those moments that really make you think, well, thank God there's a body. Thank God that there's a head and I'm not the head. You know? Seriously. Because I don't know. I'm thinking, like, most of my experience with ministry has been very, very individualistic. And I think that's a product maybe even our own culture of, you know, you have these big preachers and, you know, big spiritual leaders who seemingly do things all on their own. And that's kind of been my experience in my walk of faith. From the very get-go is, you know, I'm going to kind of come in and then I'll go out when I need to. But there was no room for that on this trip. And that's humbling in a lot of ways. I think it was not only humbling to see our own team fill the gaps and be the members of the body, but it was also really humbling to see that there's people on a completely different side of the world who are very much filling in those gaps, who are preparing kind of the field for the harvest before we even get there. And so that was another thing. It was the planting of the seeds and the watering of the seeds, kind of like Paul references, and God doing the growing, and we have no idea how that really happens. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, Apollo planted, you know, or I planted, Apollo watered, but God did the growing, and we really don't know how that works. And so just seeing the people that we partnered with, and one of the main people that we partnered with the first week, who was a chaplain at the school and we got to stay with, just her sharing. There was a moment in the week where we just started talking, and I shared with her some of the, you know, intimate details of my testimony and how I came to faith, and, you know, being from a background of drugs and alcohol and gang violence and stuff like that, and just, you know, having, wanting to give up, and remembering at 17, multiple times even after that, just wanting to, for all this to end. I just wanted it to end, having moments of suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. And then she starts opening up to me about intimate parts of her testimony, and just seeing how that's formed her character, and how that's made it so that she is earnestly seeking to build that field over there that we just got to go and water. Because if it wasn't for that, honestly, we were just, you know, we would just be there. But there was already a field over there, especially the first week. There was already something going on, something that God was already doing. And as far as the growth, we don't know. And we leave that to his hands and we stay at his mercy. And, you know, it's just, if this is of any encouragement, it's to get out. And, you know, this is a body where we're all comfortable with one another for the most part, and I'm so thankful for this, and we come together on Sundays, and that's incredibly important. And it's even more important that we know that this is a coming together so that we could go back out and see other parts of the body at work, you know, see parts of the field that need some watering, and being confident and even comfortable with the fact that God's gonna do the growing. And whether we see that or not, I think that's what puts us at his mercy, just knowing that he's going to do it when he wants to do it. So, Thank you.
Hello. Kind of piggybacking off of what Daniel said in coming alongside those who are already faithfully working and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Just really evident, and I experienced this a lot over there, was the hospitality that the people we stayed with had for us and the people we worked with had. And the servant, like the posture of servitude that they had and carried with them everywhere they went was really encouraging to me. And I think I learned a lot from that. And and just praying through that of how do I come in cooperation with what God's already doing. And I think it was easier because they're so faithful and so prayerful and just radiant with hospitality and service. And so through that, I learned so much about prayer in that it's a muscle to be exercised and just gratitude. Those hand in hand in this trip for me and just being so grateful to get to know every single one of these people sitting alongside me and being able to go and represent this church was, I'm just super grateful for that opportunity. And just mind blown. Like they're all saying, like the trip was so amazing to experience the kingdom in the people we worked with. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I experienced the kingdom so much just by serving with this team. And I'm so grateful for each and one of you guys. That's what I wanted to share today. And I'll pass this on to Hannah.
I'm really nervous right now. I think I realize that I'm more introverted than I like to think I am. Okay. So real. I've always had this problem. I think there's a beauty to the human soul of just the ability to choose. And that's something that is awesome because in scripture, like, we're made in God's image and, you know, he is love and he chooses to love us over and over. We sang a song about that today, Reckless Love. He doesn't have to, but he does. And the whole book of the Bible is about God pursuing us and trying to restore and redeem relationship, which is still applicable today. I like to say that if Jesus hasn't come back yet, then this Bible is still relevant to us. So it's a cool thing. For me, just the ability to choose God is was just really highlighted in like this trip for me. So I started following Jesus at the age of like 12, 13. But I had like grown up in a Christian home and stuff and done the whole church thing, but I didn't actually encounter real love until like I knew what pain was, and pain does come with choice as well. But God's love is stronger than that, and he was able to really just teach me what it looks like to know him, to know love, and to love myself and to love one another. And just being able to like process that throughout my years and then also like share that with some of the girls and kids that we talk to was just really beautiful. And I think there's something powerful when you speak out what the Lord has done in your life, even if you're in a tough season, you know, and you're just like, man, like, I don't even see God right now, but I think he's there, so I'm just going to say he's good. And like, you know, I've definitely had those moments. And there is power in our testimony because it shows a very powerful God and a weak, you know, frail human. But God meets us and he does great things. And that is a testimony. And so being able to share that was just really awesome. And just being able to just choose is a privilege. Like, you know, to choose God or to choose, you know, not God, death, whatever, is a privilege. And just being able to take that like responsibility of like, okay, I chose you and like I'm doing life with you and I've seen what you've done in my life and I'm thankful, like being able to take that heart and like, or the attitude, and then take it to across the world was just really cool because you meet other people who are choosing the Lord as well every day. And it's just like a step by step sometimes. And sometimes it's like a just full on run race of pursuing God, chasing after him. And I don't know, it was just really cool to see that, you know, God has been the same God when I was 13 in my room crying out to him, and as he was in Australia when I was jet lagged and like whatever. And so I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there is a price when you like choose God. It's hard because life doesn't necessarily get better in the fact of like bad things stop happening. Like, no, like we're in a broken world, but we have a really strong God who is bigger than anything that we could ever face. And it even says in scripture that his love covers all sins. And if any love can do that, then if it's real or if it's not, I'm choosing it. And I found this love to be real. And being able to share that was awesome. And just even one of the students, like at the entrance high school, so she's a Christian, and like it's year 11 and 12, which is like a hard year anyway. You know, teenagers are moody. I was definitely moody. I still am. But like she's just shared with me how like, man, like I'm a Christian and I've been praying for my class, but like, you know, I don't know, sometimes it gets discouraging. And one of the days, so there was one day where one girl came to know Jesus, another day where two girls came to know Jesus, because we just shared what God did in our lives. We chose God, he chose us and did great things, and we just shared it. And then God met them, and then they started crying, and I'm like, oh no, what do we do, guys? Like, what do we do now? And so it was just awesome. And so like a few days, or actually when we got back, I got this like text on Messenger, like Facebook, and she's just been sharing how she's been so thankful that we came out, because she's been praying for like these her co-students to know Jesus, and like she just thinks that there's an answer to prayer. So choose God, because you really can't go wrong if you do.
Yeah, it's a privilege. It certainly was a privilege for me to go, and I was very much feeling out of place. And these guys are very dynamic. First of all, I felt very redundant. There's plenty of pastoral care in this group. There is incredible just logistical thinking, leadership, dynamism. It's incredible to be a part of that. And it was awkward because I was feeling like, what in the world am I doing here? And hope I am not in the way. They assured me I wasn't, because I'm insecure and I need that a lot. But that said, I had a front row seat in many ways to see God do amazing things through these people, through us. And his glory was definitely revealed, and honor was given through the work and how these guys, how we interacted with these people. A couple of things is I was definitely there for some divine appointments. Many of you guys know this is a reiteration, or we've going again from a trip that started apparently all the way back in 1987. I just found that out. Wednesday was a trip that Adam Ayers and then Laura Short had gone on, and I don't know who else had went on that trip, but then a little bit later, Wes Davis joined Adam on a trip, and then a couple guys came over, Adam Ryan and Trevor Bennett, and then we go over there in 94 and 95, and then the group came over here in 95, 96, that winter, their summer, but that transition. And the impact it had on those 11 kids and their leader, Helen McNabb, was powerful. And I got to connect with a couple of those folks that came over, including Adam Ryan. And it was neat to be able to be a part of that, because not only am I a part of this new thing that God is doing And has been doing since, what, 2012 is when we started going back again as a church. And have gone back 2012, 2015, December, and now this group is just something that's happening that where we get to encourage them and they get to encourage us. And I got to reconnect with some of these guys. Craig Whiteman says hi and sends his love. Tim Kierkegaard, who's I got to go to his concert, like his role, his doing a whatever you call it when you do a video and roll out your CD. Yeah, music video and CD. So he's online now. So I don't know when it's going to be live, but they're editing and stuff. But just little things like that to kind of reckon to the past and be here in the future and be a part of this. And another thing that was really cool about that is just recognizing that we're just playing a part of this. We're jumping in, and we've said it a few times, of what God is already up to and what he's doing. I love how Tabitha just framed that, that our life, we can tell our entire story by just simply telling what Jesus is doing, you know, between, you know, and Jared made that point as well, what Jesus is doing in our lives. So it was pretty powerful. One of the ways that he met me in this is those divine appointments. I felt like, gosh, that was an opportunity for where I got to be there and be in and speak some encouragement and receive encouragement. That's another part of the Christian life, is receiving the encouragement that others are offering. It's hard to say God is chasing you you know, it's easier for me to say God is chasing you and he loves you and he's for you. It's hard for me to say God is chasing me and he loves me and is for me, right? And so that reciprocal and that encouragement for one another is so important. And it's, again, muscles that need to be exercised. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, tell somebody how much the Lord loves them and remind them how much he also loves you in that process. It's powerful. But also, as we're there, we got to see Michelle, and she's the scripture teacher at Tara, a very affluent school, considered one of the best girls' schools in Australia, apparently. And so this is a very high-end, politicians, all of these people send their kids to this school, and we got to be a part of ministering to people that will impact the world. We don't know how that'll work. Again, we water, we plant seeds, we do these things, but we got to be a part of that. And then we also got a front row seat in that respect to see Michelle, who is amazing. Michelle and David are just, they're the two main people kind of running the scripture studies and the organization. And there's so many teachers that participate in it. It's technically a Christian school. So some of the teachers are truly Christian there. Big surprise, huh? But it's true. It's kind of sad that we have Christian schools, but we remove Christ from them. Kind of a headless horseman type thing. The point is we got to watch her be a part and just take off and see her be encouraged by us, which was phenomenal. And she did not rest. She was all over the place serving and helping and picking up pieces. So that was powerful in that first week. The second week was really neat because we were tired. How many of you guys went to that prayer and just kind of spent some time praying for this team, especially on that 24th? I don't know if you guys know, but that next day we were creamed. We were just exhausted. We were emotionally frustrated. And if we're going to, you know, make stuff up or, you know, believe in the spiritual world, the spirits were really taking advantage of that. And so I don't know what Satan had planned for us, but prayer, I believe, helped to provide a shield for us. And you got to participate in a way that you may not have known. But that day that Daniel just talked about, we were all exhausted and ready to quit. And in some cases, cussing and, you know, different things under our breath so we wouldn't offend our brothers and sisters. I don't think anybody heard me. But they may have felt me and be frustrated. But God did. He sustained us and got us through and used our different gifts. And one of the things that I've been saying a lot, but it was fun to watch Troy. Amber would sort of like do this, right? And Troy would come alongside and sort of. And then he would just fade in back in the background. And he did that so many times. It was really neat to see that. But just how each person kind of came along and had something. The two girls that did accept Christ on that Tuesday, I'm telling you, I'm standing there being witness to the glory of God being revealed in people's lives, and I'm watching it going like, is this really happening? Is this happening right now? Is this? And I'm looking, and as we're sitting there praying and stuff, like the perfect song comes on in the background, and we're just sitting there going like, this is incredible. Like, I could not believe it. And I'm Mr. Skepticism anyway. So I'm like, did that really happen and stuff? And sure enough, she gets that text message from the girls, you know, thanking her for being there. And she's so excited. And she told her mom, and her mom's excited that she's recommitted her life to Christ. And like, just for that moment in time, we got to see God just show up and go like, okay, so Monday sucked, but guess what? Tuesday's amazing. And if you hang in there long enough and you persevere and you trust that I'm with you and behind you, I will show you something amazing. And he did that on that Tuesday. Another thing was watching Hannah show up the week before was incredible. I know Hannah. I've seen her lead worship here. I've seen her do some incredible things and encouragement. Obviously, the Stebners have seen something amazing in her for a long time. But to watch her live in a classroom where she just tore it up. She's like, there's a picture on the back wall, and it's flowers, and it's beautiful. And she goes, we're like that. And if somebody poured oil all over that, it, you know, you could never get that clean. And she just took off, and I just watched her just go. And then Jesus comes and can get you clean to where restore you even better than that picture. You know, she just grabbed stuff in the room and grabbed her Bible from background, like from when she was a kid all the way up through college, and just to get to participate and watch different moments of that and be a part of that, because I got to help set that up. I said a few things, and then all of a sudden she went, whew, it was awesome. So anyway, so that was cool. And then Wednesday, I was even tireder than Monday or Tuesday, and that was our hardest day, because at least schedule wise it was the long day that we had, and I was exhausted. We did five scripture classes where we shared our testimony and got to be a part of some amazing things there. Then we went to tear down the art thing, and so that was, you know, good and encouraging to the art teacher who was also the scripture teacher. But then we went to the shelter that Daniel mentioned, or somebody mentioned, that Jared went to, and I'm exhausted. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to touch anything. Food. In fact, if I could just hide in like squash potatoes, I was cool with that. But everything was already done except for hanging out with people. So I went for a walk, and I'm praying, and I'm just like, God, I don't want to do this. I'm just done. But I know that you can meet us, and I know that you're good, and I know that there's something for us. And so I prayed, and I walked, and then I walked again, and, you know, I wasn't like the willing servant in any way, shape, or form. I come back in, sit down at a table next to a guy who I think is watching TV, but he's not, and he starts to share his story with me. And his story is horrible. And it blessed me so much to know that I got to be a part of him for a few minutes and just engage and just be with him. And I don't know that I did much for him other than I got to put my hand on his back and maybe be like Troy a little bit and just hopefully steady him and encourage him and pray for him. And we're going to pray for him continually. His name is Mish. So we're going to get this prayer list out. You'll get a bunch of prayer list. But all of that to say is, again, just in a small way, God met me. And it wasn't about me. It was about hopefully meeting this guy and being a part of something truly incredible. And so my last little note that I want to make is, when you're down, you're discouraged, you're frustrated, share your testimony. Share not what God did 50 years ago, although that's okay to do that, but share what he did 5 minutes ago as well. Trust that he'll meet you in that and that he'll speak to the people that you're sharing with.
I have butterflies from hearing everybody talking, and it's not that like this is the first time that I've heard it, but it's crazy to take a step back and see what the Lord has done. And like, it was not easy, as you can hear. Sunday was such a hard day for every single one of us, and doing ministry is hard enough. Doing ministry with other people is hard. And then take that 2 weeks across the world. So Sunday, I found myself in the car, like, going to get gas with Troy, and I was like, I quit, I can't do it. And he was like, take the day off, you're fine, everything's fine. I think we all got to experience the benefits of the body, the benefits of people who are willing to push past themselves and pursue the Lord in order to benefit you. And I was extremely blessed by that with this team. With that being said, yeah, we got to share our testimonies. And part of my testimony goes back to when I was about 15 or 16 years old at a ranch in Mexico, like in the middle of the night. I really experienced the Lord there in a very tangible moment for me. And so since then, a way that I've been able to connect with the Lord has been through his creation. It's been in nature, and it's been in those times. And I truly, truly believe that the Lord is such a personal and relational God. And I've got to learn that even more in this past half year of how he'll move heaven and earth to get to you. And he'll speak to you in a language that you understand. He reveals himself through scripture, but I believe that the Lord reveals himself to us in like special ways. And for me, that's nature and creation. I'm sure for some of you, it's the same. And so something that was amazing was getting to go. I've traveled up and down the coast in California studying the nature and ecology. Like, I love it so much. And getting to go to Australia with its beautiful, diverse ecology and seeing, like pine trees on the coast of the beach. And just, like, what? This is crazy. And Hannah and I got to stay at a house that overlooked the national park. And they were long days. It was getting up with the sun, before the sun. And it was just breathtaking views of getting to experience that. And I think it hit me halfway throughout the week of understanding the Lord, who is just so big and so powerful, can make so many diverse aspects of nature, and can send this team of seven people stumbling in the dark all the way to another country and reveal himself like in us and through us and in the kids, and seeing just how incredibly big he is as creator. And getting to a point of understanding, he wants me to call him Father. Like, this God who created everything, who orchestrates everything, asks me to call him Father. With that being said, that leads into the next point of, it was hard and there was a lot of sacrifice, but he is so worth it. And saying yes to what the Lord is doing in your life is so incredibly worth it. And Sunday after, We did a bit of traveling. So the first week we were in different suburbs of Sydney. For a weekend, we went down to the entrance, which is a little peninsula town, and then we went like further into the central coast. And so we had like 2 days at our Airbnb, like on the peninsula, and then we're racing to get ready and make sure everybody has their coffee, because that's super important to FWC people, that we all have our coffee. And so we're running a little bit late to church because of that. And we get there, and everything's kind of hectic. We all have, like, our luggage piled up in the van, and we get to church, and this woman, she preaches, and afterwards, she comes up over to us, and she said, I just want to let you know that as you, like, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this, as you guys are sacrificing and giving up, like, even just the fact that of you guys giving up time, 2 weeks of your life, the Lord is taking care of what's going on at home. Like, he's blessing what's going on at home. And for me, coming home Friday, and Jay Allerton coming to my house with a car, I haven't had a car in half a year, and really being able to see, I know that some of us each have, like, that story of seeing what the Lord has been doing at home. And so it was crazy how, yeah, it, like, surpassed our 2 weeks there. He was very, very faithful in that. And we got to experience a lot of good things, and we got to participate in ministry, and we were changed by it. And something that kind of popped up, perhaps by the Holy Spirit, was this kind of would have happened with or without us, but we were so blessed that we got the opportunity to participate in what the Lord was doing, because that is so powerful. And the Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord will send workers into the harvest. And we just took a step back, and we're so thankful for the prayers that sent us out into the harvest, of being able to see that. And your guys' prayers are so important. We would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge how powerful every single one of your guys' prayers were and are continuing to be to this trip and what the Lord is doing. And that was a very big takeaway for all of us of, like, prayer is so incredibly important. The fact that we get to talk to Creator, we get to talk to Father, and he allows us to participate, knowing this would have happened with or without us, but we were blessed with the opportunity. So these were the takeaways that we had and kind of life-changing experiences and transformations for us. So much more happened on the trip, and we didn't even hit the surface of what ministry was like. And so we just want to invite you guys to ask us questions afterwards, or maybe we can go and talk about it over coffee. Or we like poke, we like sushi, they like hamburgers. We've experienced a lot, and we'd love to share more if you guys want to hear more. We're going to move into a time of worship, and that was a bad conclusion, but that was the conclusion.